Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. All right, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I'm sitting here with my friend.
I'm Darren Larson.
I called you friend. I hope you like that. You're my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, welcome again to another episode of Abound in Hope. We are in just getting started in a series that we're calling Lampstands. Darren, what is Lampstands? Where does that come from, and why? What are we doing?
Yeah, we like the Book of Revelation, evidently, because our last two podcast series have been from there. This one's called Lampstands because the picture of the churches in the first two chapters of Revelation have the person of Jesus walking amongst these seven golden lampstands, which represent, you know, physical churches in that time, but also, I think, symbolically represent all of the churches that Jesus is walking among. And so we started this podcast with the idea of having a unity in the body of Christ for the churches that are out there, in particular ones that we've partnered with in the past, or that we have a relationship, or just kind of know what they're doing in the area, and some for church plants, like what is God doing in church planting. And so so we've asked some friends of ours along the way to come and share about how Jesus is moving amongst their lives and the churches as well. So that's kind of where Lampstands is from.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's so encouraging to know, like, again, Jesus walks among the churches. It's not like one church he's there and one that he's not. It's cool that, you know, though we're scattered, we are all one in the body in Christ, and we're all part of the body of Christ. Well, so to that end, we have some very special guests with us today. Very special guests. Who are you?
I'm Phil, pastor of a new church in Bellevue called Anthem Church. I'm here with my wife.
Hi, I'm Lagaya. I go with him. I go to the same church. I was the first official member.
Yes.
Well, and funny enough, I've known Lagaya for a zillion years because Lagaya and I went to college at Multnomah Bible College when it was called Multnomah Bible College back in the 90s, which is amazing.
Yes. Yeah, I think we started the same time. Did we start the exact same?
I think so. Did your brother's year older than you or something like that? Is that right?
Four.
Oh, man. Okay. So, because I remember when I got there, he was leading worship. Was he still leading worship when you were there as well?
He had just graduated.
Okay. So I must have been 1 year ahead of you or something like
that.
Okay.
Yeah. Overlapped. I know. And we're only 25. So that was just a few years
ago. I know. That's crazy. Me too. It's really weird. I just celebrated my 25th birthday. And I have a daughter that just graduated from high school. So that's weird.
That's amazing.
Feeling good.
So yeah, tell us a little bit about Anthem Church. Like, well, you know, actually, I want to start back a little bit more than that, if that's okay. Like, tell us a little about yourselves. Where are you from, and how'd you meet, and all that kind of stuff. And we'll eventually get up to Anthem Church in Bellevue.
Yeah, so I grew up in Minnesota, and through just God's leading, went to a Torchbearer Bible School in Colorado.
Oh, cool.
And it was there that I met this Nordstrom wearing, classy girl from Seattle. And so we were in the mountains of Colorado, didn't really match very well as I was like covered in mud, having just gone mountain biking. But yeah, we met at the Bible school, and just felt just through that experience of serving together, just felt like we're better together, serving the Lord. So Lagaya's from Seattle, and that drew us out here.
That's really cool. Yep. And Lagaya, you're from Seattle originally, is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in Shoreline.
Nice.
And then school, Multnomah in Portland. And I actually really wanted to work in residence life. And Ben Thomas was actually like, oh, my dad would probably hire you. And I'm like, I could get a job myself, Ben. our mutual friend Ben is the grandson of the founder of Torchbearers.
That's right.
And so I tried to get a job by myself and I didn't. So I gave him my resume and he got me a job.
Oh, interesting. So this was after college then. You went to work at Torchbearers after Multnomah. I didn't know that. Crazy.
Yeah. I was in Portland for a couple of years and then we went out to Colorado. I worked in residence life, like kind of residence life there. It's a small discipleship school. And then it's also a ski retreat center.
Yeah.
Winter. I don't know what.
Man, that sounds like a, a really hard place to do ministry where it's sunny all the time and you can ski. Man, don't sign me up for that, man.
it was a dream. I mean, yeah. The community there, though, is really what has stayed with us. We're still close with some of the people we work there. And I think when I think about what we're talking about, just Jesus among the churches, it was torchbearers that really reshaped my theology beyond understanding the importance of Christ's death for us and also how we're saved by his life, the resurrection life that he transforms us from within. And I think that's really what was so crucial for me, especially as I have now since originally I wasn't going to be a pastor. That was actually pretty far on the bottom of the list. but I think it really reminded me that it's not what I do for God. It's what he does in and through me.
Yeah.
And truly, I love the theme of what you guys are talking about, because it really is Christ's work in our church. It's not us.
Yeah.
It's why I kind of say why I go to church every Sunday. I mean, it's wonderful to meet with the people of God, and that's a great, experience in the Christian life, and it's a gift. But honestly, I show up at Sunday mornings because I believe that Jesus is in the church and moving amongst the church, you know, and that's why I'm there. Because I don't know if anything else compels me enough to, you know, to keep it going. Like, we heard a guy recently tell us the church is not that exciting, you know? And I'm like, well, yeah, except when Jesus shows up, you know, and that's what his point was too. It's like the Lord's with us, and that's a beautiful reminder.
Yeah. So let me backtrack even already just a little bit. Where did you guys meet Jesus? It can be like an elevator pitch version, but did you guys grow up in the church? Did you guys have a good relationship with the church growing up?
Yeah, my parents are immigrants from the Philippines. And when Americans sent missionaries to the Philippines, there were three regions. Like if you look at a map of the Philippines, you'll see kind of three, it's a whole line of islands. And then if you separate it into kind of three big chunks, the south part of the Philippines, Christian and Missionary Alliance missionaries went there.
Oh, okay.
So my family was saved through Christian and Missionary Alliance missionaries. And so when we came, we were like Christian and Missionary Alliance for sure. So Phil's like, your dad was a church planner. And I thought, was he? He's like, didn't you start a Bible study in your house and now it's the church that your parents go to now? And I'm like, yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. They found out they're a church planner like 15 years after the church was started.
Well, they just didn't call it that. That wasn't like a hip term until like, what, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, something like that. Church planting.
Cool. Your dad was like the OG church planter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Totally. We'll claim it. No, we won't. I grew up with my parents demonstrating their faith in really outright ways. Like my dad would say, we give even when we don't have. And I remember thinking, okay, but can I have $20? There were two widows that we always picked up to go to church. And I remember thinking, oh, they just must need a ride. But my parents just cared for them in a way that they, now I understand is what the Lord's asked us to do, to care for widows. And so that was cool to realize that church planting and the importance of church and who the church is was instilled pretty young in me. And then I always ask Jesus into my heart. Yeah. I'd like lay in bed and think, I do more good things than bad, like I should be good. And I remember one time at a small Christian and Missionary Alliance kids camp, I was going to raise my hand again when the missionary said, do you know where you're going when you die? I was going to raise my hand. And I felt like that was the time, it was fourth grade, where I felt like the Lord's like, you should be sure now. And so I feel like that when I was able to move forward and be like, okay, me and Jesus, like I'm following him and he knows it and I'm identifying myself with him.
Yeah, that's cool. That's great. That's a gift for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what about you?
Yeah. So I mentioned I grew up in Minnesota. My parents love the Lord and we grew up going to church, and I'm really grateful for the church I was a part of. I think my faith really became personal to me, though, through my parents. And my dad was a tire shop owner. And so he would have me come sweep, you know, clean up, just be a part of the business, the family business. And I noticed as I was just there with him, just how he had the same faith at church, at home, and then at work. Mm-hmm. And these people would come to our tire shop. Like, who comes to a tire shop to hang out, for one? And then they just like talked to my dad about life. And just because he was really involved in the community, working on the Planning and Zoning Commission and just caring for people. We'd have missionaries come over to our house and they'd share stories of how my dad helped him. So it was really through that, just seeing him live his faith, that then when I was 15, he died. And that really created a lot of questions for me, that because of his example and what he pursued in his life made me want to pursue the same.
Yeah.
And that really showed me just like, wow, there's something we're made for. Life is short. And so I want to be like my dad in the way that he lived a full life when he was here.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That is really cool. And you, Phil, after you graduated from high school, you went on to a ministry, well, kind of a liberal arts college, but a college we shared, right? You went to Wheaton, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, what did you do there?
I went to Wheaton. After high school, during high school, I'd go visit my sister who went there.
Oh.
And I was really struck by just the way that these guys would come together and pray because they wanted to. And man, I want a band of brothers like that. Like that's what I'm seeking. And so it was a really transformative time. I originally went there, though, you know, for the community and the academics. And I played football my first year. And why that matters is like through my high school, that kind of became my way to deal with my dad's death on an emotional level.
Yeah.
And then when I went to Wheaton, I wasn't the smartest and I wasn't the best football player. And so I kind of had to redefine like, who am I? And I met Steve Ivester there, and he showed me just a love that I hadn't experienced before. And so he mentored me and really helped me see, just as I, you know, you're figuring yourself out in college. So I just so grateful that he helped me, you know, in that relationship, really seek the Lord.
That's cool. It's why I like you guys so much, because you went to Multnomah LaGaia, and Phil, you went to Wheaton, and I went to both those schools.
We're
like,
just here for you, Darren.
There's a connection here, that's which why. Is amazing. So.
And you got to remember, too, you helped me learn how to fly fish.
That's right. In my backyard.
You to help me with that. That was
that's
a,
right. That's that right. A nice
little hobby to add into my rhythms.
That's so fun. Hey, LaGaia, can I ask you a random question? So being an immigrant family, what was that like coming to Seattle in your growing up years? Kind of was the Christian community good? Was it weird to be kind of feel like an outsider family, or did you feel accepted here right away? What was that like for you growing up?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you. Shoreline was majority white in all my schools. I grew up in the same house, so I knew all the same kids. So I think that helped buffer me. I was the Filipino kid, but also they had known me since we were five. So that helped buffer some of the racial gap that was there. My church was a Filipino immigrant church. And so our youth group had varying levels of understanding different dialects in the Philippines. So what we had in common was English and our Filipino accents. So we Filipino accents to each other all the time. So there's a lot of talk right now about representation, right? And I think growing up, I didn't see Filipinos in these key roles around me, but I did in the church. And so that helped me. There was one girl that was older than me that I really looked up to. I thought she was the coolest thing ever. She loved the Lord. She did great in school. So like all the things that I wanted, I had someone a little bit older than me. But now that I have kids in school, I realize there was a gap in what I knew as a student and as a kid in the community, because I was the one that needed to navigate it. So if I needed a yearbook, I needed to talk to my parents about it. If I needed them to volunteer for a field trip, which I don't know if they were comfortable doing or if they did ever. They, I would have to kind of talk through that with them. So when we talk about one of the big success indicators for kids in school is parental involvement. Yeah. My parents were involved with me and cared for me. But as far as the school system goes, they had no idea what and how that all went. So I kind of during these COVID times when all this racial conversations were happening, one thought that kind of bubbled up that I never knew I thought is they must like me. They must not mind that I'm Filipino, or even if I'm Filipino, they like me. Mm-hmm. And I have, which is a sad realization that I have, you know, inside, but it was really sweet. And it's something that's really determining of myself. And I think our family and our church is, because I'm Filipino, I can contribute a really unique perspective that deepens and makes community richer.
That's awesome.
And that's been a really sweet turnaround in that thought that I used to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great little change in perspective that goes a long way though.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that too. That's meaningful to have a perspective of someone that had a different growing up experience than a lot of us, you know? So I appreciate that. And I appreciate your vulnerability in sharing that as well. So thanks for that.
So both you guys finished college, you end up at Torchbearers. You find community there. You find a lot of value in that, a lot of sunshine probably too, mm-hmm. which we're really in need of. But, at what point did you guys think, you know, maybe there's something different? And how did that translate into like church, into like a local church or the local church? Was Anthem the next step, or was there stuff in between?
Yeah. I remember Laga and I were talking about how we loved the richness of community that we shared together, because we all lived together,
yeah.
you know, and there's just something that was really unique in that season. What was a challenge is these church groups would come, we'd have these amazing kind of top of the mountain spiritual moments with them,
yeah,
and then they'd leave,
and you,
you know, you're just kind of left like, man, I really want to walk with people and share life, you know, ongoing. And so I think that made us look forward to kind of the next chapter in terms of being part of a church. Although at that point I was still planning to be in business and make it ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I literally had church was not on my radar at all.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. When did that start to change?
Well, we moved to Seattle to be with LaGuy's family. I think there's such a, you know, the joke is that I didn't marry LaGuy, I married the whole family.
Yeah.
You know, my big fat Greek wedding.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what our families are like, but just Filipino.
The yeah. Filipino version of the,
we're just a lot.
The big fat Filipino wedding or something like yeah. that. Like you get to be a part of that whole thing. Yeah, that's awesome. Totally. Yeah.
Oh, the food is good. It's too good.
Oh man, totally.
But yeah, we, when we moved out here, I got a job in a tech company in Kirkland. LaGuy worked downtown at an insurance company. And shortly after that, you know, I just got married and I lost my job. And so I was actually talking with LaGuy's older brother that someone started coaching me, because I just was like, Lord, what do you want? You know, we came out here to start a life. And it was through those conversations, listening to the Holy Spirit, and I remember just being open for the first time to working in the church. I think I had this idea that you volunteered in the church, like that's what we do. We don't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach was like, no, like, you know, that people do this as like a career. And I was like, yeah, I don't know how do you even get into that? And the amazing moment was that my pastor at the time separate from all of this, like about a week later, called me and said, you know, would you ever consider working in our church? And that, I mean, it was a literal call, you know, like,
yeah,
just never thought of church until that moment. And
the voice of God sounded a lot like your pastors in that moment. Yeah. Huh? Is that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and just listen to your pastor.
Yeah.
That's it. This is the
great podcast. Oh, there we go. We can close in prayer now. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So it was really good for me. I started serving in bookkeeping and this building project, and prayed, and then God provided a scholarship at Multnomah to go to seminary. And then my friend from Wheaton got a job at a church on the east side.
Hmm.
And he said, hey, we need someone like you in Lagaya. So then we started serving at this church. And that's the church that we planted out of.
Yeah. So, oh, cool.
Yeah. So, and I think, you know, you follow Jesus, you don't know exactly where he's going to take you.
Totally.
You
know? Yeah.
And it's like through this course of all these experiences of Lagaya's family, moving to an east side that's now become 40% immigrant.
Yep.
Is in Bellevue. I mean, that's a statistic in Bellevue.
Yeah. So 40%
of the population, 60,000 people in Bellevue are foreign born.
Yeah.
And that I watched that reshape our church, where there's now our parent church has an Indian fellowship, Korean community, Mandarin speaking ministry,
wow,
Cantonese speak, you know, and it's just like, God's just doing this. He's bringing the world here. And so we started asking the question, you know, having been a part of Lagaya's family, being a part of this church, you know, what are we doing to be a visible solution to our foreign-born community?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Bellevue's majority minority, right? Isn't that the statistic we hear? And so you guys are planted in Bellevue, in a place where you're living out in a place where you've actually, you know, just described to us.
Yep. Yeah. It's 51% ethnic minority. And so like ethnically diverse.
Yeah.
And a majority of that 40%, you know, of the population are from other countries. So it's not just, we're not talking about race. I mean, it's part of it. It's part of the conversation. It's an important one.
It's culture, it's language, it's all of that. Yeah,
it's from other countries. And so, you know, there's people here. I remember at Bellevue College meeting a student that had never heard the name of Jesus.
Wow,
man. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the unreached people have come here. He, through a series of conversations that he decided to follow Jesus,
you That's know, awesome.
And now he's doing college ministry. And then on the other side, you got, you know, the majority church has come here. And I think God's brought the global church here to reinvigorate the American church.
Yeah.
And so there's,
I mean, there's guys in the Indian fellowship that, like, I asked, like, hey, what happened to your head? And he's like, oh, I just came from India. We were sharing the gospel and we got persecuted.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, like you got beat up. Yeah. And so I got to hear the story of just his faith. And I, you know, what does that do to a culture that's largely, you know, forcing this consumerism on us? That's all about me.
Yeah.
You know, you're entitled to this life. And then there's people coming here facing persecution for their faith.
Yep.
I mean, that's bringing a richness into the church that I'm so grateful for.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have a friend in Myanmar. We do ministry in Myanmar in Southeast Asia. Well, we did before the coup took over, the military coup took over and has devastated that country. But we have a friend there named Pastor Nopum, and he has a story. When he baptizes new believers, these are real believers, because he asks them right before they dunk into the water, are you willing to die for your faith? And that's the question. We say, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, your personal Savior? And if you do, we'll dunk you. Nopum goes, ain't nobody got time for that. Nopum goes, are you willing to die for your faith? You know?
Yeah, because it's like right out there, it's happening.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah. And that's pretty amazing. Different world than we live in here.
Yeah.
So,
Tell us, I think there's a richness of character in that when people from those experiences come here, you know, those are the questions and the ideas that they're bringing.
I mean, because we can get very discipled by this culture. Again, the consumerism, the comfort, the it's about me. And to have people who can kind of be smelling salts for us to snap us out of that consumerism is invaluable. So like show us the urgency of sharing the gospel, and the urgency of the mission that we're here for is absolutely invaluable, because over time, you know, we just kind of get eroded away into church is another thing we can consume. So it's amazing and cool to have the nations come here, because I heard somebody say Christianity is unique in that as we evangelize, we learn more about Jesus, we learn more about the church, we get more perspectives on what's going on. You know, we don't force people into a culture. We shouldn't force people into a culture, I should say. But we learn more about what the church is, what the global church is, as we mm-hmm. grow the church. So I think that's pretty amazing. And what's happening in Bellevue and other places around here is proof of that. So.
Can we go back for a second to your church that before you were launched out of? Tell us a little bit about your experience of your church in Bellevue before you launched your church in Bellevue, and how you decided to come out and launch Anthem Church. What was that like?
Yeah, so grateful. So I was part of Crossroads Bible Church, served.
Yeah.
Kind of as a utility player where there are needs. So youth,
the minister of miscellaneous.
You know, missions, young adults, just kind of wherever there was a gap. And it really taught me a lot just about the body and just the way that, you know, the richness of the church is created as people contribute in each other's lives. And the time that I spent there, you know, I started, like I mentioned, there's these different ethnic groups that started reshaping our church. And I remember in 2013, Pastor Jerry said, "Hey, what are we doing with the Indian people that are in the foyer, just kind of clumped together?" And that really started for me, just kind of like, "Hey, what am I doing to be a part of this?" You know, you wouldn't look at me and think, "He's going to help start a multi-ethnic church." You know, like I get that. I also think that
you are kind of white. I agree with that.
You're very Minnesota.
You're white. I'll say that. Really,
you look very Minnesota. Yeah. I would say. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's where I think people miss that race is a part of it. You know, that's the color of our skin. However, it's the ability to cross cultures and ethnic cultures at that. Is what discipleship is. It's disciple all ethnos. So we're all called to cross cultures in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I started doing, just eating some Indian curry, sharing a meal. It's usually food related.
Awesome.
And, and it was through that I got to learn that there's a different way of doing church. And I think I'm used to, you know, church, and it's so important. There's different churches reach different people, right? And so, I grew up in a church that, you know, there's singing for a certain amount of time. There's a sermon, and then you talk for a bit and you go. And then I'm part of this community that just spends all Sunday together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of their service is a 45-minute time of prayer, corporate prayer.
Wow.
And I'm just kind of soaking this in, thinking, man, there's a richness of relationship here that is really revealing to me a part of God's church, the body, that I hadn't experienced to this degree.
Yeah.
Except for Legai's family. I think they did this well. You know, the it's a family. They care for
it's almost
other.
Like God was getting you ready for this when you married Legai.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah. Like, it's not an accident. You know, like all this is God's purpose. He's prepared us in advance for good works. And I think these are things I look back, it's like, wow, he really prepared me for where we are today.
So out of that experience came a vision for a new type of church, I imagine then. I mean, am I hearing that right? Did you kind of say, I'm not sure the church that we do regularly on the East side is going to meet the needs of the people, of the nations, of the ethnos that are coming to be part of our city? Is that kind of where the birth of that vision that you have for the church came out of?
Yeah, I think kind of it culminated in 2017, you know, starting to see how our church is changing and then seeing the need in the community. And my neighbor was really bothered at the time. He's moved to California, but he's from Taiwan and just felt like he didn't fit. And so it started a faith conversation. You're just like, hey, I'm believe in Jesus, love our neighbor. That's what brings us together. And so we had a good conversation about faith and spirituality. And So I just started sharing life with him. And Lagai was serving in the Issaquah Foundation at the time and helping. It was what you share this part.
I was the Issaquah Schools Foundation has a, here's a random plug, but they have a mentor program for kids that just need extra adult support.
Yeah.
But then there was a whole group of these kids that need extra support that their moms look more like me. Maybe some of them don't even speak English. And so I was in the process of making a grant so that I could be employed by the Schools Foundation to recruit bilingual mentors to help these kids navigate the school system like I would have done awesome to have when I was younger. So I was in the process of making a grant to do that, but we were starting to see this need. There was this one girl from Thailand that came that was in school for 3 months and had no one to like fill in the blanks of not only the cultural gap, but like the language gap of like, why does everyone go over there? How do they know what papers to get and bring?
Yeah, yeah.
Does everyone get up and get their coat? At the, you know, she was able to fill in a lot of it, but there was, you know, she had a list of questions. And finally we found this Thai mom to come and like fill her all in. And being in the room, watching them talk was like so sweet to see this fourth grade girl like, oh, that's super helpful. And then to see this mom be like, well, I don't have a ton of experience in the schools, but my daughter's older than you, so I can kind of take you along. And it was really sweet. So the work there was kind of speaking into what we were moving forward with, with Anthem.
Yeah. Wow. At what point did you guys, Phil, did you start thinking like, you know, I need to step out of Crossroads and form another community? What did that look like? Because I think there's, you know, I know being in that area, it's strategic. You said more churches are better, obviously. But at what point did God start laying it kind of a different vision on your heart than what you could do at Crossroads?
I think, like I said, it takes a lot of different churches to reach a lot of different people.
Yeah, totally.
And I was mentioning just my neighbor and Lagai's experience in Issaquah. We went to this event that the city hosted, and it was to bring our community together. And it was in the elderly center, the elderly home, and there's like 80 people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. I mean, we're like looking around this room thinking, this is heaven. You know, it really like,
yeah,
wow,
seriously,
beautiful. And yet this TED Talk speaker is like, we're better together, empathy. And I'm thinking empathy will only help my neighbor Michael so much. Yeah. You know, that's not a solution to the sense that he doesn't feel like he fits. He doesn't feel a sense of belonging here. So, you know, and Lagai is hearing this stuff in the Issaquah Foundation and the challenges that kids are facing. And these parents are here and they're listening for answers. And afterwards, they did have solutions. They had government programs. They had education and the Muslim Association. And I'm looking like there's Christians in this room. The church wasn't a visible solution to the degree that the Muslim Association was.
Man, wow. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that made me rethink like, okay, we need to go to where people are.
Not ask them to come to you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and Every church is a people. I mean, church is a people, so there is a gathering. We just are really emphasizing that to follow Jesus is to love God, love one another, and love our neighbor. And I love the church so much that all I want to do is spend time with the church. You know, Bible studies, youth meetings, leadership training, all this good stuff. And we envisioned a church that said, hey, let's be deliberate with our time. We can't do everything. And let's prioritize time as a church with our neighbor. And so it just is a slight adjustment for us in that way that we're, and people talk, we're like, oh, you're a church that's about outreach. And I'm like, what does that mean that there are churches that are about outreach and churches that are not about outreach? Like, what are you saying?
Ooh.
Is that what the Bible, you know what I mean? It sort of starts these conversations. Like, what is the church? And for us, I think missional and multicultural, like multicultural in the sense of ethnic diversity.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Not multiculturalism. I know that's a whole nother thing. Yeah. But ethnic diversity, disciple making, that's about reaching the nations. That's what we're about. And so to do that, we, you know, I was a part of helping Crossroads make trend, like adjustments to recognize leaders that are godly men and women doing a work, reaching other people groups that are part of this, you know, raising up those ethnic leaders.
Yeah.
That's they're on a longer trajectory, you know, to really be a part of what God's doing in terms of the ethnic diversity of the city. And they're moving that direction. We can start now.
Yeah.
And it's not like I told a friend of mine who works for Youth for Christ, serving kind of the underserved population in Bellevue that we're partnering with. And she was saying, it's like, there's all these tables already set and she can't fit at the table. And so what we're saying is we're building a table together with ethnic leaders that are godly men and women that love Jesus and are from different ethnic groups. So that's what makes this distinct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I could talk more. I mean, it as a Bible kind of scripture to look at is look at when there's the, was it Acts 6? When there's the widows that weren't being cared for because they were Hellenistic.
Yep.
All the deacons are Hellenistic names.
Yep, that's right.
So there is an example in scripture of raising up godly men who are, you know, from that ethnic group to raise up in leadership. That's what we're trying to do.
That's a great vision.
That's awesome.
So when did Anthem launch then? How did that pop out of Crossroads? Because I know you've always spoken kindly of Crossroads and experiences there, and they're kind of a partner church with us. I mean, we've, you know, for years and years, I've always said, man, it's good to have a gospel-centered neighbor in Crossroads. How did you guys decide to launch out of there? Because I agree with you 100%. Like, man, you got to start a new church with that, building the table together.
Yeah,
that's hard to do when you're an established church.
Yeah, you can't completely retool without gutting it, basically. So the ability to have like a nimble boat to turn quickly is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what did that look like?
When did Anthem start?
And to be blunt, we couldn't have done this without Crossroads.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So I am so grateful. And we're not like I grieved. I remember one night just crying.
Yeah.
These are this is family to us. Like these are people that we care about.
We were there for Phil served for 16 years.
Yeah.
16 years. That's amazing. Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Kids grew up there.
Yeah, that's a lot of life. Man.
So we're not leaving because we don't love Crossroads. We're leaving because Crossroads and us believe in what we're doing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so we're starting something new out of Crossroads. We started in 2020. Great time to start.
Perfect timing. That was awesome, I bet.
The last person we talked to launched, I think, the winter of 2019.
Yes.
And so, anyway.
There's a theme here of starting churches during COVID. Yeah.
My son actually said, Dad, what if this doesn't work? You know, and he's, at the time, he's 9 years old. And I mean, to be honest with him, I said, hey, bud, like, I can't control the outcome here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know? We're just stepping forward, trusting the Lord. And now God's really shown him like, wow, like, this is his work.
Well, that's cool. Yeah.
And so we invited people to join starting 2020 and really invited them into this idea of starting something new. And I think everyone that joins is saying, let's learn from the past, but let's be open for what this new community is going to do as these different ethnic groups come together. And so we started gathering Sunday nights, Bible study, and then we kind of assembled our kind of launch team over that course of that year. And then in 2021, we launched into outreach together. Cause we wanted to become a family knowing each other. Cause we're all new.
Yep.
So it took some time to get to know each other and then launched into outreach. And that's been kind of our key focuses has been teams and kind of the idea that, you know, align your life to the mission of Jesus. So teams, we serve with Youth for Christ in Bellevue.
Yeah.
They're really providing a space for kids, most from kind of challenging backgrounds. They consider it kind of an inner city ministry. And I don't know that people think of Bellevue that way. It is changing and becoming more urban.
Sure.
And so, you know, there's kids that are coming into this space, mostly Hispanic, that, you know, are, you know, Catholic background maybe, but haven't heard of this relationship with Jesus, you know, or experienced it. And so we're doing that, kind of helping come alongside these youth. And then my favorite story is Grace Song. She moved here 10 years ago from China. And she called me in the fall and said, okay, let's, you know, she's met Jesus at a church. And this is kind of her way to give back. And she said, I have a couple of friends that want to learn English. And so we started a ESL outreach awesome. With her friends. And now it's like 6-7 teachers.
Wow.
And we've got translators. And then we have about probably 8 active students, but the kind of total is about 15, which for our church, I mean, that's huge numbers, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But every person counts. So we're just being faithful. And all but 2 don't know Jesus.
Wow.
And so they're coming to our church. They're grateful to learn English. And we're not just doing conversation. Like, we're not just talking. Actually, my sister, you know, Wheaton, she was a TESOL, master's in TESOL.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they have a program to help churches do this. And mm-hmm. so we're literally learning how to teach conversational English speaking and listening.
That's super cool.
And it's crazy. Like, there's a lady that joined who did this for 10 years in Hong Kong.
No way.
She's like cool. providing ongoing or on the job training. And so we're just praying for our students that through this, you know, that they'll meet Jesus. And I think that's where that we want to be about, you know, meeting these needs in our community, the people that God have brought here. But at the end of the day, it's each of us seeing where we live, work, learn, and play. How do we make adjustments to our schedule to make time with our neighbors? And so then, you know, I got a text this morning. We're praying for one of our church members, her hairdresser, and she's just showing up consistently, having a conversation, and just heard that, you know, she wants to come check out what this church is about.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so it's just really sweet just to see the way that people are really seeing that to follow Jesus, you know, is to, you know, love God, love one another, and love your neighbor.
What are you guys meeting on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, sometime like for your main gatherings? It sounds like you have a lot of stuff surrounding that. And do you go for 4 hours because you eat meals and all that kind of stuff together? Or what do you do
that
with
sounds
that?
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We meet from 5 to 7 at Crossroads right now.
Okay.
At mm-hmm. night. We have mm-hmm. night church right now. And then starting July 17th, we're moving to Crossroads Community Center, which is just a path away from Crossroads by Crossroads Mall. So we are going to start meeting there at 9:30 in the morning. I'm so excited to be
super cool. Yeah.
To be meeting in the morning.
Yeah. Will those be your first kind of public gatherings that are in the mornings then that you're going to do together? Do you kind of, is it kind of a launch for you guys, or have you considered the launch kind of meeting at Crossroads already?
Yeah, it's kind of been a series of launches. You know?
Yeah, totally.
So this is the COVID church. Yeah.
You know, launched 2020, just inviting people into this new idea, launched into a family. And now this family in 2021 launched into outreach. So now this year, we're kind of launching into this new space, which I think is exciting because it wasn't my idea. Yeah. So when you talk about Jesus Among Us, I was actually looking at a different location and just trying to, you know, we're doing something new, so I got to listen. And then the church body started looking at other options. And then this community center opened up, which people are telling me, like, Phil, this is who we are. Like, we're part of the city, serving the needs in the city. And this is the greatest area of ethnic diversity in the whole city. 2013, it's changed since then, but 2013, it was 75% immigrant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like that's a lot.
It is. Yep. One, there's a, so as far right as I know,
and so we'll meet in the mornings, and I just kind of tell people that are more used to like a traditional church. Imagine, I mean, it's actually, I think we're actually too traditional. We're like going back to when Sunday school existed.
Yeah.
And, we just combine it. School, so it's kind of like singing, sermon, and then Sunday school right after, where we break into groups. We do corporate prayer all together. And then we break into groups and really talk about how do we live this out. And so it's a 2-hour program. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But the sweet part is we kind of work through these levels of belonging from a kind of a public experience to more of a personal experience in the group.
Yeah.
And then people just linger. And so we're trying to create that culture of lingering. And I think moving to the mornings will help with that, especially with the mall nearby and the park that we're in. It'll really cultivate that community.
I love that food court at Crossroads,
by
the way. That is
a great
food court there.
It's so good.
Multi-ethnic food court is so good there too. Yeah.
Big fan. It's a real watering hole. I mean, people go to like hang out.
So I remember the first time I went there, we had not been here very long. I think we moved here in 2016, and I went in there because I just happened to be in the area, and like I was the only person there, I'm pretty sure, that I heard speaking English.
Yep.
And I was like, this is really cool.
That's cool.
Like it really was like the nations are right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
LaGaia, so are you still working at that place in Issaquah? Has your role changed at all in terms of the church plant and stuff? I mean, Phil's moving out kind of from the role at Crossroads. What have you experienced in the last couple years since 2020?
Yeah, I helped with the kids' ministry in the very beginning, partly because I had 4 out of the 6 kids were mine. so I helped with kids' ministry for a while. And then we were able to hire someone on that took that from me, which is great because I don't think I'm particularly gifted in it. Mm. So I did as much as I could.
Yeah.
And then, so now I actually, when we break up into community groups, I lead the youth.
Cool.
Which is great and fun until 3 of mine. I'm like, I feel like someone else should be speaking into the lives of my children.
Yeah.
But right now, the stage that they're in, I'm still awesome. So we'll ride that for as long as we can. I also lead a women's, like kind of an outreach Bible study. So we, for anyone that's new to studying the Bible, we do that. And then I also invite people that are thinking, I think I should lead a Bible study in my neighborhood, or I tried to choose Bible studies that could be for people that are just curious about the Bible so they can just learn about it. So that's what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. And I greet him when he comes home.
Nice. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Can you give us maybe 1 or 2 highlights of the last 2 years of church ministry? I mean, we kind of heard this story of this gal who helped in your TESOL program.
Yeah.
Are there other things that you say, man, here's a couple things we're super proud of at Anthem Church and what's happening right now?
Yeah. Yeah. I think my favorite story is meeting Jeff Newcomer in 2020, and he self-described himself as a hick and work construction and said he felt called to plant a church.
Oh,
whoa.
You came to the right place. We're figuring this out. You know, we're a month in. And what I love about Jeff is he's just super eager to learn. And, you know, his story, he came out of alcoholism and then wanted to be a part of a church. And because before he was a Christian, he was divorced. The denomination he was a part of said he couldn't be a pastor. So that kind of knocked him out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so when COVID happened, like all of us were rethinking things. So he said, hey, my wife and I was remarried and said, we feel like we should, you know, serve our neighbors and be a part of a new church. And so long story long, he just was super faithful, just prayed for his neighbors and served a ton, and God used that. And his close friend accepted Christ.
Oh, cool.
And he baptized him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Summer of 2021. And then through that, we were praying. And he's like, I feel like I fit in like Wyoming, not Bellevue. Sure. And so he went to an assessment, and through sharing the story, what God did this last year, you know, they said, hey, we can get behind this. And so he moved with his wife. They just prayed and felt led to Upton, Wyoming. Huh. And they moved there that fall. And is the family that they led to Christ, they are moving. And so they're going to join them this summer and join that church plant. And now it's just like, I get to talk to Jeff about what he's doing in this small town.
Yeah.
And just exciting. You know, it's like, who would have thought we'd even start a church, let alone be a part of a new church.
Launch a church.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Crazy.
Talk about multi-cultural, multi-ethnic. Going to Wyoming must be something different. That's
yeah. For real. Yeah, that's the beauty, right? Like we're a different kind of church that matches what God's doing here.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff really makes sense. You know, he just told me he got to lead a I don't even know how you call it, like a cattle charge or something. Like he's on horseback. I mean, it's just like, what a beautiful like expression of just how Christ starts these communities that really connect with these differing cultures and places.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you just love people like Jesus, and then the church, you know, happens, and it's just a beautiful thing.
Amen. Amen.
That's amazing.
I have one story. Can I share?
Yeah, please. Actually, yes.
So in these Bible studies that we've been doing, it's a mix of people who are either new believers, new to studying the Bible, or like veterans in the word. And we've been doing these book studies. And what's interesting is some of the questions in this like Bible study guide are aimed at these veteran Christians that are now like jaded by like, oh, it's so hard to read my Bible. Oh, this, you know, what do I do? You know, all these like obstacles to connect to God. And then I have these new believers that are like, I need hope. And so I go to the Bible for hope because I don't know where else to go.
Wow.
And all of us are like, right.
You get it.
Exactly what we should be doing. But I get this picture every week of how like these new believers are reinvigorating these old school, I who study my Bible every morning. And it becomes this like, oh, if we believe this, our lives should be changed and we should be able to share. And so it's like this really sweet balance of like this eagerness, this rawness with like this seasoned, and they have a lot of answers. And then the experiences just kind of all overlap. There are women in the room that have struggled with some things that are current struggles for other women that they don't know. And
yeah,
I mean, you know, in ministry, like you can't divulge it, but then the one lady that is past it is like, well, this was a whole waste of time.
Uh-huh.
Like I went through this, and I'm like, oh. So this one that's struggling is like, did you tell that lady that I was struggling?
Yeah.
It was only the Holy Spirit that let her share that. And it was like this sweet moment where I felt like they were connecting and like showing each other Jesus.
Man,
that
yeah.
Like it is the only, it's only Jesus that can do that kind of stuff. I just show up and I get a front row seat, and it's been, those Bible studies have been one of the most fulfilling things that I've experienced with Anthem.
That's so amazing. Cool. That's such a cool picture of like, you know, veteran Christians, like you said, and then brand new believers speaking into each other. Like, because again, like you do have like the tired, almost grumpy old Christians that are like, blah, blah. And then people are saying, no, like, there's so much hope here. And then you have people who've been through stuff. That's such a cool picture of the church. Can I ask where the name Anthem came from?
Yeah.
A lot of summers we have a song that we blast, and it's our, we call it our summer anthem.
Yeah.
And every time it's like, windows down, music blasted, everyone needs to be dancing. And that's like, that's the vibe. And so when we were talking about names, that's the vibe of what we want our church to be about.
Yeah.
That there's this new song that is invigorating us, that's that changes us and brings light and hope and joy to whoever can hear the volume of it.
That's amazing.
I love that. Yeah, that's really cool. Where can people find you online? Like, how do they contact Anthem Church if they want to, or check you guys out or something like that?
Yeah. So our website is anthemeastside.com.
Yeah.
And you can just contact me. I guess, can I give my
name? Yeah, sure.
Give your email address if people want to contact you. Yeah.
I just give my cell number.
That's right.
Yeah. You get a million phone calls. You know, we have that kind of audience now. It's like, you'll,
Yeah. So it's phil@anthemeastside.com. And it's P-H-I-L.
Yeah.
And I'd love to love anyone who's just feels like God's doing a work in their lives towards reaching cross culturally.
Totally.
I think there's such a joy in just hearing what God's doing in other people's lives, and for us to be able to share in that too. It's been such a blessing. So thanks for letting us be a part of this and being able to
share.
You got it.
I mean, truly it's God's faithfulness that we're here, and just the way that you guys have come alongside us, partnering with us in prayer and giving, it's been such a huge blessing to us.
I think it's a blessing to us to hear your story. Actually, absolutely, compels me in my faith and my vision and my mission, all of that stuff. So, I mean, you guys are a gift to me and to our church, I think.
Yeah, I think absolutely. So speaking of prayer, one thing we're doing in all these is we're asking our people, as soon as, you know, the fancy intro music ends, we want you guys to stop and pray for Anthem and for Phil and the Gaia as well. So what can we pray for you guys about? You guys individually, and then also Anthem Church.
Sure. My big one is maybe a combo. We believe the Lord has called our whole family to plant this church. And I think as a mom, at the very end of the day, you know, there's the logistics of like, you're at church for 5 hours helping set up and tear down. So like the logistics of that they would feel like contributors and also blessed in it.
And
my biggest hope for them at the end of the day is the end of the day and at the end of the road for them, that they will believe that God's way is the best way.
Yeah.
And so that's my prayer too for our church, that as we are distracted by so many things or put our hope in so many things, if we are anchored in the fact that God's way is the best way, I think that will continue to help us turn our hearts towards him.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. I think my prayer, is really just for every disciple at our church, that God would just lead them to be able to make, 3 disciples in their first 5 years with us.
Cool.
Yeah.
And that's really, cause I know, as a church plant, it might sound ironic, but like, Christ didn't call us to start a church. You know, he called us to make disciples. And we just believe that starting a church is the best way to make that a priority. And so we're just really praying, and just that, you know, it's not about coming to hear me speak. It's about going to love our neighbor and through those relationships to draw them to Christ. So I think that's kind of a consistent prayer, that people could join us in praying that. And then we move to the new location on the 17th.
Right. That's great.
So just more than just the logistics, I don't want to miss the way that now there's going to be a new expression of church in this space, that, you know, I want to be a faithful witness. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, I'm serving in the city, and one of the representatives from the city is going to be there. And so just pray for that. You know, I just pray that the people that we get to know through this new location, that it would really just remind us of what God's doing, and that we'd be faithful to testify to him.
I like the specificity of 3 disciples in 5 years. That's unique. I like that. Yeah. So Imprint Church, listeners, would you pray for Phil and LaGaia Peterson and Anthem Church in these requests? Pray for their family. Visit them, say hi to them.
Yeah. Send them some encouragement as well. Yeah. I mean, you got his email.
Send them
no
money
one is too
or something,
encouraged,
you know,
you know?
Whatever you need to do, it'd be a good thing. So.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Imprint, thanks for listening. Remember, as soon as the outro music's over, stop and pray for them. Pray God does great things in Bellevue through Anthem Church. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.